So why are you going? I ask, and then mentally slap myself. I mean, why are you going since you work in finance, don't you? I try to clarify.
No, I get it. You bookies don't need the human calculator around.
He rolls his eyes and I laugh. Really laugh.
He's opening a second office in Seattle shortly, and we're going to a meeting with a potential investor. Also, we'll be scouting locations, so he needs me to make sure we get a good deal, and Kimberly to make sure whatever building we like functions with our workflow.
Are you into real estate, too? The room is finally warm, so I take my shoes off and tuck my feet underneath me.
No, not at all. But I'm good with numbers.
He brags.
It'll be a good time, though. Seattle is a beautiful city. Have you been?
Yeah, it's my favorite city. Not that I have a lot to choose from.
Me either. I'm from Ohio, so I haven't seen much. Compared to Ohio, Seattle is like New York City.
I find myself genuinely interested in knowing more about Trevor. What made you come to Washington?
Well, my mother passed away my senior year of high school, and I just had to go. There's just so much more to see, you know? So I promised her right before she died that I wouldn't spend my life in that dreadful town where we lived. The day I got accepted to WCU was the best and worst day of my life.
Worst? I ask.
She passed away that same day. Ironic, isn't it?
He gives a wan smile. The way only half of his mouth turns up is lovely. I'm sorry.
No, don't be. She was one of those people that didn't belong here with the rest of us. She was too good, you know? My family got to have more time with her than we deserved, and I wouldn't change a thing.
He says. He gives me a full smile and gestures at me.
What about you? Are you going to stay here forever?
No, I always wanted to move to Seattle, but lately I've been thinking of going even further, I admit.
You should. You should travel and see everything you possibly can. A woman like you shouldn't be kept in a box.
He must notice some odd look on my face because he quickly says,
Sorry, I just mean you could do so much. You have a lot of talents, I can tell.
But I wasn't bothered by what he said. Something about the way he called me a woman makes me happy. In my life, I've always felt like a child because everyone treats me like one. Trevor is only a friend, a new friend. But I'm really glad to have his company on this terrible day. Have you had dinner? I ask.
Not yet. I was debating whether or not to order a pizza so I don't have to go back into that blizzard.
He laughs. We could split one, I offer.
Deal,
he says, with the kindest look I've seen in a long time.
Chapter 6. Harden. My father has the stupidest expression on his face. It always happens when he tries to look authoritative, like now, with his arms crossed as he stands filling his front doorway. She isn't going to come here, Harden. She knows you'll find her. I fight the urge to knock his teeth down his throat. Instead, I rake my fingers through my hair, flinching slightly when my knuckles twinge. The cuts are deeper than usual this time. Punching the drywall did more damage to my hands than I thought. It's nothing compared to how I feel inside. I never knew this type of pain existed. It's so much worse than any physical pain I could cause myself. Son, I really think you should give her some space. Who the fuck does he think he is? Space! She doesn't need space! She needs to come home! I yell. The old woman next door turns to look at us, and I raise my arms at her. Please don't be rude to my neighbours, my dad warns me. Then tell your neighbours to mind their own damn business! I'm sure the old grey hair heard that. Goodbye, Harden, my father says with a sigh and closes the door. Fuck! I yell, and pace back and forth on the porch a few times, before finally going back out to my car. Where the hell is she? As mad as I am, I'm worried as hell about her. Is she alone or afraid? Of course, knowing Tessa, she isn't afraid at all. She's probably going over the reasons she hates me. Actually, she's probably writing them down. Her need to be in control of everything, and her stupid lists used to drive me crazy. But now I long to see her scribbling the most irrelevant things. I would give anything to watch her chew on her full bottom lip in concentration, or see that adorable scowl take over her sweet face even one more time. Now that she's with Noah and her mother, the small chance I thought I had is gone. Once she's reminded why he's better for her than me, she'll be his again. I call her again, but her phone goes straight to voicemail for the 20th time. God damn it! I'm such a fucking idiot! After driving around for an hour to every library, every bookstore, I decide to go back to the apartment. Maybe she'll show up. Maybe she'll show up. I know she won't. But what if she does? I need to clean up the huge mess I made and buy some new dishes to replace the ones that I smashed against the walls, just in case she comes home. A man's voice booms through the air and vibrates my bones.
Where are you, Scott?
I saw him leave the bar.
I know he's here,
another man says. The floor is cold when I climb out of bed. At first I thought it was Daddy and his friends, but now I don't think it is.
Come out, wherever you are!
The deepest voice yells, and there's a massive crash.
He isn't here,
my mummy says, as I reach the bottom of the stairs and can see everyone. My mum and four men.
Oh, look what we have here,
the taller man says.
Who knew Scott had such a banging wife?
He grabs my mum by the arm and pulls her off the couch. She grabs at her shirt desperately.
Please, he isn't here. If he owes you money, I'll give you all I have. You can take anything in the house. The television, maybe.
But the man only sneers at her.
A television? I don't want a damn television.
I watch her struggle to shake free of him, almost like a fish I caught once.
I have some jewellery. Not much, but please.
Shut the fuck up,
another man says and smacks her.
Mum!
I yell and run into the living room.
Harden, go upstairs!
She shouts. But I'm not leaving my mummy with these bad men.
Get out of here, you little shit!
One of them tells me, pushing me so I land hard on my butt.
See, bitch? The problem is that your husband did this!
He snarls, pointing to his head, where I see a massive gash across his bald scalp.
And since he isn't here, the only thing we want is you!
He smiles, and she kicks her legs at him.
Harden, baby, go upstairs!
Now!
She yells.
Wait, why is she mad at me?
I think he wants to watch,
the injured man says and pushes her onto the couch.
I jolt awake and sit up.
Fuck!
They keep coming. Every night worse than the last. I got so used to them not coming that I could sleep. Because of her. It was all because of her. But here I am at 4 in the damn morning with bloody sheets from my busted knuckles and a killer headache from my nightmares. I close my eyes and try to pretend she's really here. And hope that sleep will come.
Chapter 7. Tessa.
Tess, baby, wake up.
Harden whispers as he touches his lips to the soft skin just under my ear.
You look so beautiful when you're waking up.
I smile, pulling him by his hair to meet my eyes. I brush my nose against his and he chuckles.
I love you,
he says and presses his lips to mine, only I can't feel them. Harden? I question. Harden? But he fades from my side. I snap my eyes open and am thrown back into reality. The strange room is pitch black and for a second I forget where I am. And then it comes to me, a motel room, alone. I grab my phone off the bedside table and see it's only 4 a.m. I wipe the tears from the corners of my eyes and close my eyes to try to get back to Harden, even if it's only in a dream. When I finally wake up again, it's 7. I step into the shower and try to enjoy the hot water as it relaxes me. I blow-dry my hair and do my makeup. Today is the first day I feel like looking decent. I need to get rid of this mess that's inside of me. Not knowing what else to do, I take a page from my mother's book and paint a perfect face on in order to bury what's inside. When I'm finished, I look well-rested somehow and actually really nice. I curl my hair and dig my white dress out of my bag and cringe. Good thing this room has an iron. It's cold, too cold for this dress, which doesn't quite reach my knees, but I won't be outside long. I choose some plain black flats and set them on the bed with the dress. Before I get dressed, I repack my bags so they're more orderly. I hope my mother calls with some good news about the dorms. If not, I'll have to stay here until she does, which will drain what little money I have, and fast. Maybe I should just look into getting my own place. I might be able to afford something small close to Vance. I open the door to find the snow mostly melted under the morning sun. Thank goodness. Just as I unlock my car door, Trevor walks out of his room 2 doors down from mine. He's wearing a black suit and a green tie. He looks so put together.
Good morning. I would have helped you get those, you know,
he says when he sees I'm carrying my bags. Last night, after we ate pizza, we watched a little television and shared stories of college. He had a lot more stories than me since he's already graduated, and while I really enjoyed hearing about what my college experience could have and should have been like, it made me a little sad, too. I shouldn't have been going to parties with people like Hardin. I should have found myself a small but true group of friends. It would have been so different, so much better.
Did you sleep well?
He asks, and pulls a set of keys out of his pocket. With a click, the BMW engine starts. Of course the BMW is his. Your car starts itself? I laugh. He holds up his key.
Well, this thing starts it.
Nice. I smile a little sarcastically.
Convenient.
He counters. Extravagant?
A little.
He laughs.
But still very convenient. You look lovely today, as usual.
I put my bags in the back of my car. Thank you. It's freezing out, I say, and get into the driver's seat.
See you at work, Tessa,
he says, and climbs into his BMW. Despite the sun, it's still cold, so I quickly thrust my key into the ignition and turn it to start up the heater. Click, click, click is my car's only response. Frowning, I try again and get the same thing. Can I get a freaking break? I say aloud and hit my palms against the steering wheel. For a third time, I try to start my car, but of course nothing happens, not even the clicking this time. I look over, thankful that Trevor's still here. His window rolls down and I can't help but laugh at my own misfortune. Do you think you could give me a ride? I ask, and he nods.
Of course. I think I know where you're going.
He laughs and I climb out of my car. I can't help but turn my phone on during the short drive to Vance. Surprisingly, I have no new texts from Hardin. I have a few voicemails, but I don't know if they're from him or from my mother. Choosing not to listen to them just in case, I instead text my mother and ask her about the dorms. Trevor drops me off at the door so I don't have to walk in the cold, which is really thoughtful of him. You look refreshed, Kimberly says with a smile as I walk in and grab a donut. I feel a little better, sort of, I say, and pour myself a cup of coffee.
Are you ready for tomorrow? I can't wait to get out of here for the weekend.
Seattle has amazing shopping, and while Mr. Vance and Trevor have their meetings, we'll find some fun stuff to do. Have you talked to Hardin? It takes me a second, but I decide to tell her. She'll probably find out anyway. No. Actually, I moved my stuff out yesterday, I say, and she frowns. I'm sorry, girl. It'll get easier as time goes by. God, I hope she's right. My day goes faster than expected, and I finish this week's manuscript early. I'm excited to go to Seattle, and I hope that I can get my mind off Hardin, even if it's only for a little bit. Monday is my birthday, which I'm not looking forward to at all. If things hadn't gone downhill so quickly, I'd be on my way to England with Hardin on Tuesday. I don't really want to spend Christmas with my mother either. Hopefully I'll be back in the dorms by then, even if they'll basically be empty, and then maybe I can think of a good enough reason to not show at my mother's. I know it's Christmas, and that's terrible of me, but I'm not exactly in a holiday mood. My mother texts me as my day is winding down, saying that she hasn't heard back about the dorm. Great. At least I only have one more night until the Seattle trip. Shuffling around from place to place is not fun at all. As I'm getting ready to leave for the day, I remember I didn't drive myself to work. I hope Trevor hasn't already left. See you tomorrow. We'll meet here, and Christian's driver will take us to Seattle, Kimberly tells me. Mr. Vance has a driver? Of course he does. When I step off the elevator, Trevor is sitting on one of the black couches in the lobby. The contrast of the black couch, black suit, and his blue eyes is very appealing.
I wasn't sure if you needed a ride or not, and I didn't want to bother you in your office,
he tells me. Thank you, I really appreciate it. I'm going to call someone about my car when I get back to the motel. It's slightly warmer than it was this morning, but still freezing outside.
I can wait with you if you want. My plumbing is fixed now, so I won't be staying at the motel again, but I'll wait with you if you...
He stops talking suddenly, and his eyes go wide. What? I ask, and follow his eyes to see Harden standing by his car in the lot and staring angrily at Trevor and me. The breath has been knocked out of me once again. How does it keep getting worse? Harden, what are you doing here? I ask, storming toward him.
Well, you don't answer my calls, so I didn't have much of a choice, did I?
He says. I didn't answer for a reason, and you can't just show up to my job, I yell back. Trevor looks uncomfortable and intimidated by Harden's presence, but he stays next to me.
Are you okay? Let me know if you're ready. Ready for what?
Harden's eyes are wild. He's taking me back to the motel since my car wouldn't start.
Motel?
Harden raises his voice. Before I can stop him, Harden has his hands on Trevor, gripping the collar of his suit as he slams him against a red truck. Harden, stop, let him go, we didn't stay together, I explain. Why I'm explaining myself to him is beyond me, but I don't want him to hurt Trevor. Harden lets go of Trevor's clothing, but stays in his face. Back off of him, now. I grab Harden's shoulder and he relaxes slightly.
Stay away from her,
he spits, his face only inches from Trevor's. Trevor looks pale, and once again I've brought someone else into this mess that doesn't deserve to be. I'm so sorry, I tell Trevor.
It's okay. Do you still need a ride?
He asks.
No, she doesn't,
Harden answers for me. Yes, please, I say to Trevor. I just need a minute. Like the gentleman that he is, he nods and goes over to his car to give us space. Chapter 8. Tessa.
I can't believe you're staying at a motel.
He runs his hand over his hair. Yeah, neither can I.
You can stay at the apartment. I'll stay back at the frat house or something.
No, not happening.
Please don't be difficult.
He rubs his hand across his forehead. Difficult? You aren't serious. I shouldn't even be talking to you right now.
Would you just calm down? Now what's wrong with your car? And why was that guy staying at the motel?
I don't know what's wrong with my car, I groan. I'm not answering him about Trevor. It's none of his business.
I'll take a look at it.
No, I'll call someone. Just go.
I'll follow you to the motel.
He nods toward the road. Would you just stop? I growl, and Harden rolls his eyes. Is this some sort of game to you, to see just how far you can push me? He takes a step back as if I pushed him. Trevor's car is still here, waiting for me.
No, that's not what I'm doing. How could you even think that after everything I've done?
Exactly. I do think that because of everything you've done, I say, almost laughing at his choice of words.
I just want you to talk to me. I know we can work this out,
he tells me. He's played so many games with me since the beginning that I can't tell what's real.
I know you miss me too,
Harden says, leaning against his car. His words stop me in my tracks. So arrogant. Is that what you want to hear? That I miss you? Of course I miss you, but you know what? It's not actually you that I miss. It's who I thought you were. And now that I know who you really are, I want nothing to do with you, I yell.
You've always known who I really am. I've been me all along. You know that.
He shouts back. Why can't we ever just talk without yelling at each other? He makes me crazy, that's why. No, I don't know that. If I knew that, I stop myself before I admit that I want to forgive him. What I want to do and what I know I should do are two totally different things.
You what?
He asks. Of course he would try and coerce me to continue. Nothing. You need to go.
Tess, you don't know what it's been like the last few days for me. I can't sleep. I can't even function without you. I need to know there's a chance we could...
I interrupt him before he can finish. What it's been like for you? How can he be so selfish? What do you think it's been like for me, Harden? Imagine how it feels to have your life completely ripped apart within hours. Imagine how it feels to be so in love with someone that you give them everything, only to find out it was all a game, a bet. How do you think that feels? I take a step toward him, my hands moving frantically between us. How do you think it feels to lose my relationship with my mother over someone who could give less of a shit about me? How do you think it feels to be staying in a goddamn motel room? How do you think it feels to try to move on from this when you keep showing up everywhere? You just don't know when to stop. He doesn't say anything, so I continue my rant. Part of me feels like I'm being too harsh on him, but he betrayed me in the worst way, and he deserves it. So don't you sit here and tell me that it's been hard for you because you did this. You fucking ruined everything. Just like you always do. So you know what? I don't feel sorry for you. Actually, I do. I feel sorry for you because you will never be happy. You will be alone for the rest of your life, and for that, I feel sorry for you. I'll move on. Find a nice man who'll treat me the way you should have, and we'll get married and have children. I will be happy. I'm out of breath after my long speech, and Harden is looking at me with red eyes and an open mouth. You know the worst part of all this? Is that you warned me. You said you would ruin me, and I didn't listen. I tried desperately to stop my tears, but I can't. They fall mercilessly down my face, and my mascara runs, burning my eyes.
I'm sorry. I'll go,
he says in a low voice. He looks completely and utterly defeated, the way I wanted him to look, but it doesn't give me the satisfaction that I thought it would. I maybe could have forgiven him in the beginning if he'd have told me the truth, even after we slept together, but instead he hid it from me, offered people money for their silence, and tried to trap me by making me sign the lease with him. My first time being intimate with someone is something I will never forget, and he's ruined that. I rush over to Trevor's car and jump inside. The heat is on, blasting at my face, mixing with my hot tears. Trevor stays quiet, and I'm thankful yet again for his silence as he drives me to the motel. By the time the sun goes down, I force myself to take a hot shower, too hot. The look on Harden's face as he backed away from me and got into his car is etched in the back of my mind. I see his face every time I close my eyes. My phone hasn't rung once since he left. I had this silly, naive idea that we could work. That despite our differences and his temper, well, both of our tempers, we could make it work somehow. I'm not sure how I managed to fall asleep, but I do. The next morning, I'm a little anxious about going on my first business trip and begin to panic. Plus, I forgot to get someone to fix my car. I look up the nearest mechanic and call them. I'll probably have to pay them extra to keep my car for the weekend, but that's the least of my worries right now. I don't mention it to the friendly man who answers in the hopes they just won't bother charging me for it. I get myself ready, curling my hair and putting on more makeup than usual. I choose a navy blue dress that I haven't worn yet, something I bought because I knew Harden would love the way the thin material hung on my curves. The dress itself isn't revealing at all. The hem reaches just below my knees, and the sleeves go halfway down my arm, but the way it fits makes it look really good on me. I hate that everything makes me think of him. As I stand in front of the mirror, I imagine how he would be looking at me in this dress, the way his pupils would dilate and he'd lick his lips before pulling his lip ring between his teeth while he watched me adjust my hair one last time. A knock on the door brings me back to reality.
Ms. Young?
A man in a blue mechanic's uniform asks when I open the door. That's me, I say, and pull open my purse to grab the keys. Here, it's the white Corolla, I say as I hand them to him. He looks behind him.
White Corolla?
He asks, confused. I step outside. My car is... gone. What the... Okay, let me call the front desk and see if they had my car towed for leaving it here yesterday. What a great way to start my day. Hello, this is Tessa Young, room 36, I say when the front desk guy answers. I think you had my car towed? I'm trying to be nice, but this is really frustrating.
No, I didn't,
he replies. My head is spinning. Okay, well then, my car must have been stolen or something. If someone took my car, I am beyond screwed. It's almost time for me to leave.
No, your friend came and got it this morning.
My friend?
Yeah, the one with all the tattoos and stuff.
He says it quietly, as if Harden could actually hear him. What? I know what he said, but that's all I can think to say.
Yeah, he came with a tow truck this morning about 2 hours ago,
he says.
Sorry, I thought you knew.
Thanks, I groan, and hang up. Turning to the man before me, I say, I am so sorry. Apparently someone has already had my car taken to another mechanic. I didn't know. I'm sorry for wasting your time. He smiles and assures me that it's okay. After my fight with Harden yesterday, it slipped my mind that I needed a ride to work today. I call Trevor to let him know, and he tells me that he already asked Mr. Vance and Kimberly to swing by and pick me up on their way. After thanking him, I hang up and pull back the curtain on the window. A black car pulls into the lot and stops in front of my room. The window rolls down, and I see Kimberly's blonde hair. Good morning. We're here to save you, she announces with a laugh when I open the door. Smart and kind Trevor, always thinking ahead. The driver gets out and with a tip of his cap grabs my bag and stashes it in the trunk for me. When he opens the back door, I see two seats that face each other. On one, Kimberly pats the leather, inviting me to sit next to her. On the other, Mr. Vance and Trevor look at me with amused expressions.
Ready for your weekend getaway?
Trevor asks with a wide smile. More than you can imagine, I reply, and get into the car. Chapter 9. Tessa. As we pull out onto the highway, Trevor and Mr. Vance return to what appears to be a deep conversation about price per square foot on a new building in Seattle. Kimberly nudges me with her elbow and then mimics their talking with her hand.
Those boys are so serious, she says. So Trevor said something happened to your car?
Yeah, I have no idea what, I say, trying to keep a light tone, which is easier with Kimberly's friendly smile. It wouldn't start yesterday, so I called someone to fix it, but Harden already had someone come get it. She smirks.
Persistent, isn't he?
I sigh. I guess so. I just wish he would give me a little time to process all of this.
Process what? She asks.
I forget that she doesn't know about the bet, my humiliation, and I certainly don't want to tell her. She only knows that Harden and I broke up. I don't know, just everything. I have so much going on right now, and I still don't have anywhere to live. I feel like he isn't taking this as seriously as he should. He thinks he can just play puppeteer with me in my life. He thinks he can just show up and say sorry and all will be forgiven, but that's not how it works. Not anymore, at least, I huff.
Well, good for you. I'm happy you're standing up for yourself, she says.
I'm just glad she isn't asking for details. Thank you. Me too. I really am proud of myself for standing up to Harden and not just giving in, but at the same time I feel terrible for what I said to him yesterday. I know he deserved it, but I can't help but think, what if he does care as much as he claims? But even if somewhere deep down he does, I just don't think it's enough to ensure he doesn't hurt me again. Because that's what he does. He hurts people. Changing the subject, Kimberly says excitedly,
We should go out tonight right after the last talk. On Sunday, those two will be in meetings all morning, so we'll do some shopping then. We'll go out tonight, and maybe Saturday night, too. What do you think?
Go out where? I laugh. I'm only 18.
Oh, please. Christian knows a lot of people in Seattle. If you're with him, you can get in anywhere.
I love the way her eyes light up when she speaks of Mr. Vance, even though he's already right next to her.
Okay, I say. I've never been out before. I've been to a few parties at the frat house, but I haven't ever been to a nightclub or anything even close. It'll be fun, don't worry, she assures me. And you should definitely wear that dress, she adds with a laugh.
Chapter 10. Harden.
You will be alone for the rest of your life. and for that I feel sorry for you. I'll move on, find a nice man who'll treat me the way you should have, and we'll get married and have children. I will be happy.
Tessa's words keep playing over and over in my head. I know she's right, but I so desperately don't want her to be. I'd never minded being alone until now. Now I know what I'm missing.
You in?
Jace's voice breaks through my muddled thoughts.
What?
I ask. I almost forgot that I was driving. He rolls his eyes and takes a hit from his joint.
I asked if you were in. We're going to Zed's.
I groan.
I don't know. Why not? You need to stop being such a pussy. You're moping around like a fucking baby.
I glare at him. If I had gotten any sleep last night, I'd reach across and choke him. I am not, I say slowly.
You so are, dude. You need to get wasted and laid tonight. I'm sure there'll be some easy girls there.
I don't need to get laid. I don't want anyone but her.
Well, come on, drive over to Zed's. If you don't want to get laid, then at least come have a few beers, he says.
Don't you ever want to do more? I ask, and he looks over at me like I've grown horns.
What?
You know, doesn't it feel like it's getting old, just partying and hooking up with different girls all the time?
Whoa! This is worse than I thought. You got it bad, man.
No, I don't. I'm just saying. Doing the same old shit all the time gets old. He doesn't know how enjoyable it is to lie in bed and make Tessa laugh. He doesn't know how fun it is to hear her ramble on about her favorite novels, to have her swat at me when I try to grope her. It's much better than any party that I've ever been to or will ever go to.
She really did a number on you. That's some shit, isn't it?
He laughs. No, she didn't, I lie.
Sure.
He throws the remainder of his joint out of my car window.
She's single, though, right?
He asks, and when I grip the wheel, he laughs even harder.
I'm just fucking around, Scott. Just wanted to see how pissed you would get.
Fuck off, I grumble, and to prove a point, I turn on the back road to Zed's.
Chapter 11, Tessa. The Four Seasons in Seattle is the nicest hotel I've ever seen. I try to walk slowly to take in all the beautiful details, but Kimberly practically drags me onto the elevator and down the hall, leaving Trevor and Mr. Vance in her wake. Stopping in front of a door, she says, "Here's your room. After you unpack, we'll meet in our suite to go over the itinerary for the weekend, even though I already know you've already done this. You should change, because I really think you should save that dress for tonight when we go out." She winks and strolls off down the hall. The differences between my hotel from the last two nights and this one are vast. One painting from the lobby here probably costs more than what they spent decorating an entire room at the other place. The view from my window is incredible. Seattle is such a beautiful city. I can easily imagine myself living here in a high-rise apartment with a job at Seattle Publishing, or even Vance Publishing now that they're opening an office here. That would be amazing. After I hang up my clothes for the weekend, I change into a black pencil skirt and a lilac shirt. I'm excited about the conference, but nervous about going out. I know I need to have some fun, but it's all new to me, and I still feel empty from the damage Harden has caused. By the time I get to Kimberly and Mr. Vance's suite, it's 2:30. I'm anxious because I know we should be downstairs in the banquet room by 3. Kimberly greets me warmly when she opens the door and leads me inside. Their suite has its own living room and a separate sitting room. It looks bigger than my mother's entire house. This is... wow, I say. Mr. Vance laughs and pours himself a glass of what looks like water.
It's okay.
We ordered some room service so we can all eat a little something before we head downstairs. It should be here any minute, Kimberly says, and I smile and thank her. I didn't realize how hungry I was until she mentioned food. I haven't eaten at all today.
You ready to be bored out of your mind?
Trevor asks as he appears from the sitting room. It won't be boring to me, I smile, and he laughs. I may not want to leave this place, I add.
Me either,
he admits. Same, Kim says. Mr. Vance shakes his head.
That could be arranged, love.
He puts his hand on her back, and I look away from the intimate gesture.
We should just bring the main office here and I'll move,
Kimberly jokes. At least I think she's joking.
Smith would love Seattle,
Mr. Vance says. Smith? I ask. Then I remember his son from the wedding and blush. Sorry, your son, of course.
It's okay. It's an odd name, I know.
He laughs and leans into Kimberly. It must be so nice to be in a loving, trusting relationship. I envy Kimberly this. A shameful envy, but envy nonetheless. She has a man in her life who obviously cares for her and would do anything to make her happy. She's so lucky. I smile. It's a lovely name. After eating, we head downstairs, and I'm thrown into a large conference room full of people who love books. It's heaven.
Network, network, network,
Mr. Vance says.
It's all about networking.
And for the next 3 hours, he introduces me to almost every single person in the room. The best part is that he doesn't introduce me as his intern, and he treats me like an adult. They all do.
Chapter 12. Harden.
Well, well, well. Look who it is,
Molly says, and rolls her eyes when Jason and I walk into Zed's apartment. Drunk and pregnant already, I say to her.
So, it's past 5,
she says with an evil grin. I shake my head at her right as she says,
Have a shot with me, Harden,
and grabs a bottle of brown liquor and 2 shot glasses off the counter. Fine, 1, I say, and she smiles before filling up the small glasses. 10 minutes later, I find myself looking through the photo gallery on my phone. I wish I'd have let Tessa take more pictures of us together, so I would have more to look at now. God, I do have it bad, like Jace said. I feel like I'm slowly losing my mind, and the most fucked up part is, I don't care how crazy I'm being, as long as it helps me get closer to her again.
I will be happy,
she said. I know I didn't make her happy, but I could. At the same time, it isn't fair for me to keep bothering her. I got her car fixed because I didn't want her to have to worry about doing it herself. I'm glad that I did, because I wouldn't have known she was going to Seattle if I hadn't called Vance to make sure she'd have a ride to work. Why wouldn't she tell me? That prick Trevor is with her right now when I should be. I know he likes her, and I could see her falling for him. He's exactly what she needs, and they're a lot alike, unlike her and I. He could make her happy. The thought pisses me off and makes me want to slam his head through a window. But maybe I need to give her space and give her a chance to be happy. She made it clear yesterday that she can't forgive me. Molly! I call from the couch.
What?
Bring me another shot! And even without looking at her, I can feel her victorious smile fill the room.
Chapter 13. Tessa. That was so amazing. Thank you so much for bringing me along. I'm practically gushing at Mr. Vance as we all step into the elevator.
It was my pleasure, really. You're one of my best employees. Intern or not, you're very bright. And please, for the love of God, call me Christian, like I told you already,
he says with a fake gruffness. Yes, okay. This was beyond incredible, Mr. Christian. It was great hearing everybody talk about their thoughts on digital publishing, especially since it will only continue to grow and is so convenient and easy for readers. This is huge, and the market just keeps expanding, I ramble.
True, true. And tonight we helped Vance Publishing grow a little more. Imagine how many new customers we'll get when we've fully optimized our operations.
He agrees. Okay, are you two done? Kimberly teases and wraps her arm through Christian's. Let's get changed and hit the town. This is the first weekend in months that we've had a sitter. She pouts playfully. He smiles down at her.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm glad that after his wife passed away, Mr. Vance, I mean, Christian, got a second chance at happiness. I look over at Trevor and he gives me a small smile.
I need a drink, Kimberly says. Me too,
Christian says.
Okay, so everyone meet in the lobby in 30 minutes and the driver will pick us up out front. Dinner's on me.
When I get back to my room, I plug in my curling iron so I can touch up my hair. I brush dark powder over my eyelids and look in the mirror. The powder looks heavy for me, but not too heavy. I line my eyes with black liner and add some blush to my cheeks before fixing my hair. The navy dress I wore this morning looks even better now with my darker makeup and fuller hair. I wish Harden... No, I don't. I don't, I repeat to myself, and slip on my black heels. I grab my cell phone and purse before leaving the room to meet my friends. Are they my friends? I don't know, but I feel like Kimberly is, and Trevor is very kind. Christian's my boss, so that's a little different. In the elevator, I text Landon to tell him that I'm having a great time in Seattle. I miss him, and I hope we can still remain close, even if Harden and I aren't together anymore. When I step out of the elevator, I spot Trevor's black hair near the entrance. In his black dress pants and cream sweater, he reminds me of Noah a bit. I take a second to admire how handsome he looks before I make my presence known. When his eyes find me, they go wide, and he makes a noise between a cough and a squeak. I can't help but laugh a little as his cheeks flush.
You look beautiful,
he says. I smile and say, thank you. You don't look so bad yourself. His cheeks redden.
Thanks,
he murmurs. It's an odd thing to see him off balance like this. He's usually so calm and collected. There they are, I hear Kimberly call. Wow, Kim, I say, and wave my hand over my face like I'm dispelling some illusion. She looks stunning in a red halter dress that only reaches halfway down her thighs. Her short blonde hair is pinned straight, making her look sexy yet classy at the same time.
I have a feeling we'll be fighting men off all night,
Christian says to Trevor, and they both laugh as they escort us out to the sidewalk. At Christian's instruction, the car takes us to a really nice seafood restaurant where I have the most delicious salmon and crab cakes, and where Christian tells us all sorts of hilarious stories about his days in publishing in New York. We all have a great time, and Trevor and Kimberly tease him a little since he has a good sense of humor about everything. After dinner, the car takes us a short distance to an all-glass three-story building. Through its windows, I watch hundreds of flashing lights illuminate swaying bodies, creating a fascinating mix of lights and darks across limbs and bodies. It's not far off from what I envisioned a club would be like, though much larger and with a lot more people. As we get out, Kimberly grabs my arm. We'll go to a more laid-back place tomorrow. Some of the guys from the conference wanted to come here, so here we are, she laughs. The very large man guarding the door holds a clipboard in his hands and is clearly controlling access to the inside. A line of expectant partygoers fills the entire sidewalk and reaches around the corner of the street. Will we have to wait long? I ask Trevor.
Oh, no,
he chuckles.
Mr. Vance doesn't wait.
I soon see what he means when Christian whispers something to the bouncer and the big man moves the rope to let us through immediately. I'm a little dazed when I walk in, with music pounding and lights dancing across the massive, smoke-filled space. I'm pretty sure I'll never understand why people like to pay to get a headache and inhale synthetic smoke while grinding on strangers. A woman in a short dress leads us up some stairs to a small room with thin curtains for walls. Within are two couches and a table.
This is a VIP section, Tessa, Kimberly tells me as I look around with curious eyes.
Oh, I answer simply and follow their lead by taking a seat on one of the couches.
What do you usually drink?
Trevor asks me. Oh, I don't usually, I answer.
Me either. Well, I like wine, but I'm not much of a drinker. Oh, no. You are drinking tonight, Tessa. You need it,
Kimberly says loudly. I start to say.
She'll have a sex on the beach, and so will I, she tells the woman.
The hostess nods, and Christian orders a drink that I've never heard of, and Trevor orders a glass of red wine. No one has yet questioned whether I'm of legal age or not. Maybe I look older than I am, Or maybe Christian is known well enough here that people don't want to upset his company by asking. I have no idea what a sex on the beach is, but I prefer not to showcase my ignorance. When the woman returns, she hands me a tall glass with a piece of pineapple and a small pink umbrella sticking out of the top. I thank her and quickly take a sip through the straw. It's really very good. Sweet, but with a little kick of bitterness as I swallow. Good? Kim asks, and I nod, taking another long drink.
Chapter 14. Harden.
Ah, come on, Harden. One more,
Molly says in my ear. I haven't decided yet if I want to get drunk. I've already had 3 shots, and I know if I take another, I will be drunk. On the one hand, getting as plastered as I can and forgetting about everything that's going on sounds nice. But on the other hand, I need to be able to think clearly.
Do you want to get out of here?
Molly says, slurring her words. Molly smells like pot and whiskey. Part of me wants to take her into the bathroom and fuck her, just because I can. Just because Tessa is in Seattle with fucking Trevor, and I am 3 hours away sitting on a couch half fucking drunk.
Come on, Harden. You know I can make you forget all about her,
she says, and scoots onto my lap. What? I ask her as she wraps her arms around my neck.
Tessa, let me make you forget her. You can fuck me until you can't even remember her name.
Her hot breath touches my neck, and I pull away from her. Get off me, I say.
What the fuck, Harden?
She snaps, her ego obviously wounded.
I don't want you, I say harshly. Since when? You didn't have a problem fucking me all those other times.
Not since, I start to say.
Not since what?
She jumps up off the couch, swinging her arms around wildly.
Since you met that stuck-up bitch!
I have to remind myself that Molly is a female, and not the actual demon she acts like, before I do something stupid.
Don't talk about her like that!
I stand up.
It's true, and now look at you. You're like a fucking lost puppy over some Virgin Mary-turned skank who obviously doesn't even want you!
She yells, laughing or crying. Those things tend to look almost the same on Molly. I clench my fists as Jace and Zed appear next to her. Molly puts a hand on Jace's shoulder.
Tell him, guys. Tell him that he's a fucking snore ever since we outed him to her.
Not we. You, Zed corrects her. She glares at him.
Same thing,
she says, and he rolls his eyes.
What's the problem?
Jace asks.
Nothing,
I answer for her.
She's just upset because I won't fuck her needy ass. No, I'm pissed because you're an asshole. No one wants you around anyway. That's why Jace told me to tell her in the first place.
All I see is red.
He what?
I say through my teeth. I knew Jace was a dick, but I thought for sure it was Molly's jealousy that drove her to reveal everything to Tessa the way she did.
Yeah, he told me to tell her. He had it all planned. I was going to tell her right in front of you after she had a couple drinks. Then he was going to chase after her and comfort her while you were crying like a fucking baby.
She laughs.
What was it that you said, Jace? You were going to fuck her brains out?
Molly says, using her claws to make air quotes. I take a step toward Jace.
Hey, it was just a joke, man,
he starts to say. If I'm not mistaken, a smirk plays on Zed's lips as my fist connects with Jace's jaw. I feel nothing on my knuckles from the repeated blows to Jace's face. My anger overpowers everything as I climb on top of him to continue my assault. Images of him touching Tessa, kissing her, undressing her flash through my mind, making me hit him harder. The blood on his face only pushes me on, making me want to hurt him as much as I possibly can. Jace's black-framed glasses lie broken and shattered next to his bloody face as strong hands pull me off him.
Come on, man! You're going to kill him if you don't stop!
Logan yells in my face, snapping me back to reality somewhat.
If any of you have anything to fucking say to me, say it now!
I yell to the group I had once considered friends, or the closest things I had to such. Everyone stays silent, even Molly.
I mean it! If anyone says another fucking word about her, I won't hesitate to take each and every one of you motherfuckers down!
I take one last look at Jace, who is struggling to get up off the floor, and walk out of Zed's apartment into the cold night.
Chapter 15. Tessa. These taste so good, I practically yell at Kimberly as I suck down the remainder of my fruity drink. I greedily shift the straw around the ice to try to get as much as I can out of the glass. She beams. One another? Her eyes are a little red, but she's still composed, whereas I feel funny and light. Drunk. That's the word I'm looking for. I nod eagerly and find myself tapping my fingertips on my knees to the beat of the music.
Are you feeling okay?
Trevor laughs when he notices. Yeah, I feel really good, actually. I yell over the music. We should dance, Kimberly says. I don't dance. Well, by don't, I mean can't. Not to this type of music, anyway. I've never danced the way the people inside the club are dancing, and usually I would be terrified of joining them. But then the alcohol buzzing in my veins gives me courage like never before. Fudge it. Let's dance, I exclaim. Kimberly smiles, then turns and gives Christian a kiss on the lips, lingering longer than normal. Then in a flash, she stands up and hauls me off the couch, pulling me out toward the crowded dance floor. As we pass a railing, I look down and see the two stories below us filled with people dancing. Everyone looks so lost in their own world, it's intimidating and intriguing at the same time. Of course, Kimberly moves expertly, so I close my eyes and just try to let the music take control of my body. I feel awkward, but I just want to fit in with her. I have nothing else. After I've danced through an unknown number of songs and two more drinks, the room begins to spin. I excuse myself to head for the bathroom, grabbing my purse on the way and pushing through endless sweaty bodies. I feel my phone start vibrating in my bag, so I dig it out. It's my mother. No way I'm answering that. I'm way too drunk to talk to her right now. When I hit the bathroom line, something makes me scroll through my inbox, and I immediately frown at the realization that Harden hasn't texted me. Maybe I should see what he's up to. No, I can't do that. That would be irresponsible, and I would regret it tomorrow. The flashing lights bouncing off the walls are starting to get to me as I wait in line. I try to concentrate on my phone screen, hoping the feeling goes away. When the door to one of the stalls finally opens, I bolt in and lean over the toilet, waiting for my body to decide whether to get sick. I hate this feeling. If he were here, Harden would bring me water. He would offer to hold my hair back. No. No, he wouldn't. I should call him. Realizing I won't be sick, I exit the little room and go to the sink area. Hitting a couple of buttons on my phone, I place it between my shoulder and cheek and tear a paper towel from the dispenser. I place it under the faucet to wet it, but the water doesn't come until I wiggle the towel around the sensor. I hate these automatic sinks. My eyeliner has run a little, and I look like a different person. My hair is wild and my eyes are bloodshot. After the third ring, I hang up and set my phone on the edge of the sink. Why the hell isn't he answering? I ask myself. And right then, my phone starts to vibrate, almost falling into the water, which makes me laugh. I have no idea why, but I find it amusing. Harden's name appears on the screen, and I swipe my wet finger across the screen. Harold? I say into the phone. Harold? Oh, Lord, I drank way too much. Harden's voice sounds funny and breathless when it comes through.
Tessa, is everything okay? Did you call me?
God, his voice is heavenly. I don't know. Does your caller ID say that I did? Because if so, there's probably a good chance it was me. I laugh as I say this. His tone changes.
Have you been drinking?
Maybe, I squeak and toss the makeshift wipe into the trash. Two drunken girls enter the area, and one of them trips over her own feet, making everyone laugh. They stumble into the largest stall, and I focus my attention back on my phone call.
"Where are you?"
Harden asks harshly. "Oh, calm down, would you?" He always tells me to calm down, so now it's my turn. He sighs.
"Tessa."
I can tell he's angry, but my head's too fuzzy to care.
"How much did you drink?"
he asks. "I don't know, like 5 or 6, I think," I answer and lean against the wall. The cold tile feels amazing on my hot skin through the thin material of my dress.
5 or 6 what?
"Sexes on the beaches." "We never had sex on the beach. That could have been fun," I say with a smirk. I wish I could see his stupid face right now. Not stupid. Beautiful. But stupid sounds better right now.
"Oh, God, you're trashed,"
he says. Somehow I know that he's running his fingers through his hair.
"Where are you?"
he asks again. I know it's immature, but I reply, "Somewhere you're not."
"Obviously. Now tell me, are you at a nightclub?"
He barks. "Ooh, someone is a grumpy Gills," I laugh. Clearly he can hear the music in the background, so when he threatens,
"I can easily find out where you are,"
I sort of believe him, not that I care. The words are out before I can stop them. "Why didn't you call me today?"
"What?"
he asks, clearly thrown off by my question. "You didn't try to call me today. I sound pathetic."
"I didn't think you wanted me to."
"I don't, but still."
"Well, I'll call you tomorrow,"
he says calmly. "Don't get off the phone yet."
"I'm not. I was just saying that I'll call you tomorrow, even if you don't pick up,"
he explains, and my heart leaps. I try to sound neutral. "Okay. What am I doing?"
"So now can you tell me where you are?"
"Nope."
"Is Trevor there?"
His tone is serious. "Yeah, but Kim is too. And Christian." I'm defending, though I don't know why.
"So this was the plan then? To take you to the conference and get you wasted and take you to a fucking club?"
He raises his voice.
"You need to go back to your hotel. You aren't used to drinking, and now you're out, and Trevor..."
I hang up before he can finish. Who does he think he is? He's lucky that I even called him, drunk or not. What a buzzkill. I need another drink. My phone vibrates repeatedly, but I press ignore each time. Take that, Harden. I find my way back to our VIP section and ask the cocktail waitress for another drink.
"Are you okay?"
Kimberly asks.
"You look pissed."
"Yeah, I'm fine," I lie, and down my drink as soon as the waitress brings it. Harden is such a jerk. He's the reason that we aren't together, and he has the nerve to try to yell at me when I call him? He could be here with me right now if he hadn't done what he did. Instead, Trevor is. Trevor, who is very sweet and very handsome.
"What?"
Trevor smiles at me when he catches me staring. I laugh and look away. "Nothing." After I finish another drink and we talk about how great tomorrow will be, I stand back up. "I'm going to dance again," I call to them. Trevor looks like he wants to say something, maybe even offer to come with me, but his cheeks flame and he stays quiet. Kimberly looks like she's had enough and waves me off, but I don't mind going out there on my own. I find my way to the middle of the dance floor and start to move. I probably look ridiculous, but it feels good to enjoy the music and let everything else go, like my drunken phone call to Harden. After about half a song, I sense a tall figure behind me, near me. I turn to find a pretty cute guy in dark jeans and a white shirt. His brown hair is shaved into a buzz cut, and his smile is handsome enough. He's no Harden, but then no one is. "Stop thinking about Harden," I remind myself, as the man puts his hands on my hips and says close in my ear,
"Can I join you?"
Sure, I reply, but really it's the alcohol that's speaking for me.
"You're very beautiful,"
he says, then turns me around, closing the gap between us. He pushes up against my back and I close my eyes, trying to imagine that I'm someone else, a woman who dances with strangers in a club. The beat to the second song is slower, more sensual, which makes my hips move slower. We turn to face each other and he brings my hand to his mouth and touches his lips to my skin. His eyes meet mine, and the next thing I know, he has his tongue in my mouth. My heart screams for me to push him away, almost gagging at the unfamiliar taste of him. But my brain says something entirely different. Kiss him to forget about Harden. Kiss him. So I ignore the sick feeling in my stomach. I close my eyes and move my tongue across his. I've kissed more guys in my 3 months at college than I have in my whole life. The stranger's hands move to my back an inch down farther.
Do you want to come back to my place?
He says as our mouths disconnect. What? I heard him, but something in me hopes that by saying what I say, I can erase that question.
My place. Let's go.
He slurs. Oh, I don't think that's a good idea.
Oh, it's a good idea.
He laughs. The multicolored lights strobe across his face, making him look odd and much more threatening than before. What makes you think I would go home with you? I don't even know you, I shout over the music.
Because you were just all over me and loved